You know, I know I've spoken on prayer many times and will continue to do so. It's an essential part of the Christian life. It's this great privilege that we have that we can speak to the living God. I think that sometimes we think of prayer as, and I think this is perhaps a lie that the enemy has spoken to the church, that it is just work, that it's laborious. You know, we read passages where we see Paul laboring in prayer, and as we will see, even in this passage, it speaks of Elijah praying earnestly, and there's a proper understanding of that, a focus, if you will. But we have the Spirit of God in us, and at any moment, we have this great privilege, as I'm speaking to you right now, that we can be speaking to the God who spoke all things into existence. The eternal God welcomes us into his presence to pray. And yet, the church, particularly maybe the North American church, is weak in this area. We don't pray as we ought to. You generally find that in places where there is persecution in the church prays, because they recognize their need for God. And I think sometimes we take for granted, because we have so much materially, we take for granted these things. And then life hits us, and then we realize, God, now I need you, but I don't know how to do this. So you might be in that space this morning where you're recognizing your need for prayer, and you might be facing a crisis that is feeling overwhelming to you. But it's even in that space that God will meet you. But I want to prepare us for those times. If things are going exceptionally well for you right now, I would say overall, my world is pretty good right now. You know, I mean, I don't have any major crises in front of me. I certainly have things that I need to be praying for. But that's my world right now, and maybe that's yours. But nonetheless, we're called to pray. And I want to speak specifically to praying for one another, because there are different types of prayer. You know, there's what we call just praise and exaltation. You know, there is, you know, me crying out to God for my own specific needs. You know, we call that petition. I'm petitioning God for my needs. And then there is this praying for one another, this what we call interceding for one another, intercession. And that's primarily what we're going to be talking about today. Let's just go through this short passage in James. He says, is any one of you in trouble, let them pray. Anybody here in trouble right now? Well, don't just go straight to let me figure out how to fix this. Pray. And God may just give you wisdom in how to fix your situation. He might give you insight in how to tackle it. But if you're in trouble, he says, the starting point, pray. Are you happy? I'm pretty happy right now. Sing songs of praise. Express that praise. That's another way that we pray. Is any of you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. What is he saying here? There have been numerous times where in our church body somebody is facing a serious illness, and we recognize that we have an instruction for how to do this. There is an authority that God gives to the elders in a church. It's a spiritual authority. But it's not simply because of position that I believe that James says that we go to the elders. It is an understanding that an elder ought to be someone who is walking uprightly with the Lord. And there's something about our walk with the Lord that gives us an access to the throne of heaven that is not hindered. Elsewhere, the scriptures tell us that it's sin will hinder our prayers. And so the idea of going to an elder for anointing, for healing, is that you're looking to someone who is a godly person. So having said that, I would not in any way limit my going to someone to pray, to elders. Certainly, we as elders in this church are available to pray for this kind of prayer. But I know that, you know, like You know, Miss Opal, as you know, she's in, most of you know Miss Opal, Tony's stepmom, not stepmom, mother-in-law, and John's mom. She just went through some surgery this past week. She fell and she broke her hip. And so, you know, we've prayed over her. We will continue to pray for her. But any of you who know Miss Opal, no, that's a godly woman right there. Amen. She just exudes Jesus. Maria and I went to the hospital to go to visit with her. And as we arrive, the nurses say, "She is so sweet." And I said to them, "She's the sweetest woman in the world." I say that to say that if I need prayer, that's the kind of person I want to go to receive prayer, because she has an access to God. Now, every one of us has access to God, but, you know, sometimes we're not living like we ought to, and that, our sin hinders that. But the closer we get to God, the more we understand what it means to pray in accordance with the will of God. So he says, if you're sick, call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Now, again, this requires a little bit of explanation because, you know, we've all seen people who have been prayed over, godly people who have then died and gone on to be with the Lord. And so it's you got to understand, again, even though when it says make the sick person well, that word is it's broader than simply physical healing. There is a word that's used in the original language that speaks to physical healing. But then this is other word that has to do with, it's sometimes translated even salvation. But it's a larger word that encompasses physical healing, but it really relates more so to even just our soul healing, which is bigger than that. Because every one of us are going to ultimately die, right? We're going to die. But we pray that the Lord send his kingdom. We say, let your kingdom come on earth. So in heaven, there is no illness. There is no disease. There's no death. And Jesus tells us as he teaches us to pray that's one of the ways that we pray. We pray your kingdom come. So we pray with faith to believe for physical and miraculous healing. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. It's what's communicated here is also that sin sometimes is a source of illness. It's not always a case. Well, you know, in one sense, yes, because we live in a fallen world. And the sin of this world, we're born into sin, and so we have broken bodies. These bodies are going to fail. But there is also an illness, a sickness that can come on us because of sin. I've experienced that. And when I confess that sin before the Lord, I've seen that illness leave my body. So that's just something to be aware of. Therefore, he says, confess your sins to one another. That's, we want to make sure that we're clean with one another. And there's something about saying those words to another human being that cleanses our heart. That, you know, the shame that we're feeling because sometimes of our very egregious, very, very terrible sin. But by my saying that out loud to another person, I'm saying I'm freeing myself of that. And God, you cleanse me of my sin. And then it says to pray for one another so that you might have that soul healing. And it says a prayer of a righteous person is very powerful and effective. That's why he ties that back into going to the elders. And then there's this story he mentions of Elijah. Some of you know the story. Elijah, he prays, and the heavens shut up for 3.5 years. He prays again, and he points out here that this man Elijah was, he was a human just like us. He, you know, sometimes we read the scriptures, say, oh, well, he was a Bible character. Bible character, because it's going to do things that we didn't do. No, he was a human being. And when it says that he prayed earnestly, it literally says in the original language, it's saying he prayed in prayer. Yeah, you understand what that means? It's like when you go to God in prayer, you're not just saying your prayers. You're not just uttering words. But as you're praying, you recognize you're before the God of all creation. And there ought to be like a holy awe when we come before God. intermingled with a joy that says that God hears my prayers. And as I'm praying for you, you tell me that you've got, you know, you got a need for, you know, a financial resource. You've lost your job and you need a job. I'm not just going to, Lord, give them a job. You know, pray that they would find. No, I want to pray. Believe me, I'm talking to God. I'm not just saying the words. That's how we pray. Now, this passage is telling us, as we see in many other passages, that part of our expression of our love for one another is that we pray for one another. If I say I love you, as a child of God, as a believer, I'm going to pray for you. And not just when things are bad. I'm going to pray for you. And if you say you love me, I hope you love me. I hope you pray for me. So what are some of the ways we pray for each other when perhaps we don't even know what's going on in a person's life? So we know, I just mentioned to you, Miss Opal is in the hospital. She's at the Gables right now. She just had surgery. She's in a bit of discomfort and pain. Pray for her healing. And you ought to hear what I've just said. And you say, okay, that's a prayer request. It's a very specific prayer request. Every once in a while, well, not every once in a while, every week I'm praying for each of you by name. And every once in a while, as I go through that prayer list and I'm going through your names, I'm calling your names before the Lord. Sometimes somebody will say, well, that's a lot of people. How do you pray for so many people? I learned this from a mentor of mine many years ago. He said, you know, what I'll do is I'll have that list in front of me and I'll call their names before the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes that feels a little feeble to me. Like, Lord, but I'm calling them and I'm seeing your faces. I'm literally seeing your faces because I'm going through breeze. And I'm calling your name before that. And every once in a while I'll pause and God will say, pray for this person in this way. Or send them a text. How do I pray for you? So every so often you might receive a text from me and I'll just say, hey, I'm praying for you right now. How do I, anything specific? Anything? Because you're on my heart. So, but I don't know always how to pray, but I am praying for you. So I've shared this with you in the past. There are prayers that we see that Paul prays for the different churches, which I think are just a wonderful model for us to use as how we pray for each other when we don't know what to pray. So you can, I believe, and I do this, I'll pray those prayers word for word for you. As a matter of fact, sometimes even before I start going through my prayer list, I'll go through these passages and say, okay, Lord, I think of Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you. I always pray with great joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm believing that for each one of you that call Haven your home, that I have the great privilege of pastoring, that God's not done with you. That he's doing a work in you, and he's conforming you to the likeness of Jesus. He's doing a work that he says, I'm going to carry on until that day. He's not done. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. So I want to be thankful. And I find myself in that space. I go through this and I'm going, Lord, again, there's a part of me, the fallen part of me that doesn't see you as clearly as that I ought to, that goes, is this making a difference at all? It feels a little feeble at times. But God, I'm just believing you. And I'm thankful. I count it a privilege to pray for another person. Because I know that as feeble as my prayers are, God hears them. And my prayer for you, and your prayers for me, and our prayers for each other, are putting us on a trajectory towards Jesus. That's, in other words, what I'm saying is that we are, through this thing called prayer, shaping one another's lives to look more and more and more like Jesus. It's an incredible privilege that we have. And the words I'm saying to you right now, I'm hoping will inspire you to say, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters. It's a great privilege. And the more that we do this, the more that we will pray. Because as you pray for me and I pray for you, when I'm feeling weak in my prayers, it's your prayers that's going to strengthen me to say, I need to pray a little bit more. And as I pray a little bit more, I'm going to start praying for you a little bit more. And you're going to pray for that person beside you, and so on and so forth. We learn what it means to pray by praying. So there are two prayers in the letter to the Ephesians. I want us to look at that for just a little bit. Because, again, as we're learning how to pray for one another, what to pray for one another, what I've seen in these prayers is some very specifics that we can pray at all times. Ephesians 1, 17. I keep asking, keep asking, keep on asking. In other words, you don't just pray it one time and you're done. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Why? So that you may know him better. I think everything that follows after this actually could come under that umbrella. Just knowing God. I want to know him. And we pray for one another to know God deeply. As I was preparing this message, I thought, you know, Lord, we could just stop right there. Because if we really knew God deeply, every other problem in life falls into place. You know that, right? Whether you're dealing with a terminal illness, whether you're dealing with a financial need, whatever it may be, knowing God puts that into perspective because you know that God is working for you. You know that he loves you. When I talk about knowing God deeply, I want to be able to talk to God just like I'm talking to you. I mean, seriously. You know, I was heading to a meeting on Friday morning, and I'm in the car driving, just talking out loud to the Lord. And, you know, when I do that, and I do that pretty frequently, I go, well, Lord, if you're not here, if I'm talking into the sky, well, then I'm crazy. But you are here, God. I know you're here. And God, I thank you so much. And I started laying out these prayer requests. And there's something about just knowing God, like to understand he's personal. He's not a, you know, just sort of like a to-do list, something to check off. God is not, you know, just, you know, someone you go to just because you have a need. God is personal. Amen. My wife and I this past Monday celebrated 35 years of marriage. Hallelujah. I am the most blessed among men. Next weekend we're going away to California for our anniversary trip. We're going to go to Yosemite and Monterey and Sequoia and Big Sur. We're just going to have a good time. But I can't imagine after 35 years that I would be in the home with this woman and not talk with her and not spend time with her, not daily have an interaction with her. Sometimes it's just kind of like, hey, you sleep good last night? Hey, how are things? Hey, how was your day? You know, sometimes they reply, and then every once in a while we go deep, you know, and everything in between, right? And that's how it ought to be with God. We ought to have this ongoing conversation where I'm talking to him about everyday things. Hey, God, how are you doing? Hey, what a beautiful day. You know? God, I need you right now. God, I'm hurting. God, I'm distracted. We talk with him. We got to know him deeply. I don't know any other human being as well as I know my wife. And she knows me. I know her pretty deeply. I'd like to think I know God like that too. And God, we pray for one another that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. What does that mean? That I order my life. Because this is wisdom. To order my life to know God. So yes, it does require those spiritual habits of setting aside prayer. Of being in the presence of God alone so that I can learn what it means to focus on him, to know him more deeply. That's wisdom. That's revelation. It's in that space that I start to know, yeah, I'm starting to know God. I think I'm getting to know you, Lord. So we pray that for each other. That again, I think is everything I'm about to say, I think falls really under that. If I know you, God, then what else does he say? Let's continue. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart, every time I read that, I go, the eyes of your heart. I don't know what it means, but the eyes of your heart, so that with spiritual revelation, now I'm seeing things, but just not on a surface. It's getting deep inside of me. The eyes of my heart may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. That God says, no matter what you're going through right now, there's a hope that we cling to. You know, I've had a couple of friends recently who have lost loved ones. We just had a friend from Heritage last week. She lost her husband. And, you know, what do you say? I don't know. Sometimes when we're grieving, we as the people of God don't grieve like the rest of the world without hope. We have hope. We have the hope of glory. To know that this world is going by real fast. It's going by fast. You young people may not know this right now. You're going to know it soon. It zips by, and the older you are, the faster it goes. It goes by quickly. But no matter what you're going through right now, it's hope that keeps us pressing forward. It's hope that helps me to trust God's promises. And this is how we pray for each other, to trust the promises of God. God says, this is not the end of the story. What you're going through right now is not the end of the story. That he's given us great and precious promises. And we pray that for each other. I pray that you would understand this hope, that God has given you promises that you can cling to, trust his promises. He says, I am working all things for your good. Whatever you're going through right now, he says, I'm going to take it. And what the enemy has designed for evil, I'm going to take it. And I'm going to turn it around. And I'm going to use it for good. Amen. I'm going to use this hardship to shape you. I'm going to use it to give you empathy. I'm going to take this suffering and build into you perseverance. I'm going to enable this difficulty that you're going through to become something that you mature through. So we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And so we can look at these things and say, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We have an eternal glory. We have to be forward thinking. There's something about trusting the promises of God that keeps us pressing forward. Pray for one another to know God deeply and to trust his promises. Because you see, God's purposes for you are always accompanied by his promises for you. Always. He's not asking you to step out into anything that he doesn't give you great and precious promises to accomplish, to achieve. He says, I want you to know this glorious inheritance and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, I'm going to confess before you right now that even as I read this, I don't think we have the human capability to understand this power. And yet, by his Spirit, he says, I want you to know this power. I want you to know it, he says. And so we pray for one another. You pray for me, too, to believe God's power, to believe that the things he said he's going to do, he can do. We were praying this morning, Don and I were praying in my office for this service. And this is actually a prayer that we pray most Sundays as we partake of that communion meal together. By the way, you're welcome to join us at any given Sunday. As we partake of this meal and we recognize that Jesus was saying through those elements, that this is his representation of his body and his blood. And it's just before he does what? Goes to the cross. And he says, take and eat and know that this is your salvation. But the beautiful thing about the cross is that Jesus is no longer on that cross. We serve a risen Savior. This is a stumbling block for people. You know that, right? You've probably heard people say things like, oh, yeah, Jesus, he's a good teacher, you know, a good moral teacher. Yeah, he was. But that's not what he's proclaiming. He's not just proclaiming. When one teacher of the law comes to him and says, good teacher, he says, who's good? Only God is good. But then he went on to show that he is indeed God. Why? Because he was raised from the dead. So this same passage goes on that says that power that God says we should pray for one another to know, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. You know, to understand that if he can raise Christ from the dead, can he meet your bill? Can he restore that broken relationship? Can he heal your body? Can he have you even endure suffering with patience, looking up and not in any way ceasing to give him praise? Does he have power for that? Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. But honestly, sometimes we're in our space and it overwhelms us and we forget that and we doubt it. Our faith is not perfected. And so we pray for one another to know this power. When I'm weak, I need you to be praying for me so that I can have strength to believe that. Because sometimes I don't want to believe it. It's too difficult for me to believe. But there's something about your prayers that enables me to believe it. It's something about my prayers that enables you to believe this. So we pray that we would believe God's power. We pray that we'd know him deeply, to trust his promises, to believe his power. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power, that same power that raised Christ from the dead. He said, he's praying now that he would strengthen us with that power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You know, I, when we talk about receiving Jesus, we hear people saying, I asked Jesus into my heart, right? We use that expression quite often. Maria's testimony is that when she was a little girl, she heard the gospel preached, and she went to her bedroom window that evening, opened the window and said, Jesus, come into my heart. And she was expecting something to come through the window into her heart, right? But he says here, pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And so what we're talking about is this sense that he's living in me at all times, that he's never going to depart from me. That you know, again, the large umbrella of knowing God is that there is an experience of God's presence. An experience that he is with me right now. As I'm preaching to you, God is on me. He's with me. He's with you right now. You know, sometimes I catch myself in this space, often in prayer gatherings. We're sitting around and we're sharing prayer requests. And then it just hits me when we go to prayer. He's been here the whole time. I'm oftentimes in Christian gatherings listening to somebody preach. Maybe that's you right now. You've been listening to me preach, but you've been unaware that God is right there with you right at this very moment. You belong to him. He's smiling on you. If you've not said yes to him yet, he's saying, come. He's drawing you. He's saying, come to me. Come to me. But we pray for one another to have this experience of the presence of God. You know, I know. And I've heard stories of people saying, you know, I just don't sense God. I don't sense him. And I want to say to you, if that's your space right now, I want to encourage you that the very fact that you're still looking for him is a sign of your faith. It's a sign of your faith. And I want to pray for you for an experience of the living God. But I do think that part of that is that we have to, you know, we got to seek him. You know that, right? He's not hiding from us. God is not hiding from any of us. He's an ever-present God. But at the same time, we are engaged in a spiritual battle. The scriptures tell us elsewhere that, you know, you share Jesus with somebody, and it's so clear in your mind what you're saying, and the person looks at you with a blank stare and goes, I don't know what you're talking about. Anybody been there? Of course you have. You've got loved ones, you've got brothers and sisters, you've got friends, you've talked to them about Jesus, and that's been their response. But then you recognize, you know, the scriptures tell us we're engaged in a spiritual battle. Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the glory of Christ. And so it's a spiritual battle, so which means that I've got to go to God in prayer for you and for others to experience the presence of the living God, that he might dwell in our hearts by faith. So we pray to know him deeply, to trust his promises, to believe God's power, to experience his presence. I order my life so that I can have that experience of his presence. And then he says, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Again, this is not something that happens naturally. It happens supernaturally, through the power of the Spirit living in us, that you may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You know, he's going beyond three dimension here, right? He's trying to find words. He's, you know, the English language, not just English, because he was writing in Koine Greek, but language in general, you know, just is not adequate for all of the spiritual realm. But he's trying. Empowered by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. Paul is trying to communicate something to us that is only discerned by the Spirit, to have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And these next words it makes me smile every time I read them. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. He wants us to know a love that is beyond knowledge, to taste and see that he is good, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's knowing God. That's why I say this all kind of falls under that big umbrella, to know him, and in particular, to grasp God's love. I know I've told this story before, but when I was a young believer, one of the first times I felt like I'm hearing the voice of God speaking to me. I was in this space of just being overwhelmed by his love. And God said to me, Brian, I love you more than you'll ever know. I was like, oh my, more than this, more than you'll ever know. And I have experienced his love over and over and over the years. And I feel like I'm starting to taste it a little bit more now as I'm in the latter years of my life. Yes, I am. I know you're looking up saying, he's a kid. Yeah, I'm a kid. But I'm tasting and seeing that he's good. And God loves me with an everlasting love. This is one of the reasons that John is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. You know, because he's the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's how he describes himself. That's how I describe myself. And I hope you do too. You are the disciple whom Jesus loves. And nothing can take away that love. You know, there's so many places in Scripture that where God is trying to help us to see and to understand this. No greater place than the cross, that he allows his beloved son to go to a cruel Roman cross for your sins and for mine, because he loves you. And he says, nothing Nothing can separate you from his love, neither trouble or hardship or nakedness or danger or sword or famine or strength, height nor depth, no angels, no demons. Nothing can separate you from his love. And I think when we start to grasp the depth of that love is when we can start to love others and to understand that this love that he has for you and for me, we're not called to keep to ourselves. This is why we pray for each other. It's a demonstration of love for each other. If you say you love people, but you're not praying for people, I question the depth of your love. Who am I to question? You know, I'm just saying that the Bible says that if we love each other, we're going to pray for each other. This Wednesday, we've got our quarterly prayer gathering. Now, I know sometimes it's scheduling and, you know, you might be working late or this or that. But sometimes we don't come to these kinds of gatherings because we just don't really feel like we our Netflix series is on. We got something else we've prioritized over praying for each other. So I want to urge you, unless you've got a conflict in your schedule that you can't, come on out this Wednesday. And I know sometimes if you're young to this and you haven't prayed much, just come and listen to people pray. There's something about just agreeing with someone in their prayer that I think multiplies and intensifies that prayer. That God, in our prayer closet, hears us. I know that. When I'm by myself, he hears. But he says there's something about two or three or four or five or 10 or 20 coming together in his name where he says, I am there. So come on out this coming Wednesday. Church, I hope what I've said to you is not new, but at the same time inspires you to say, this is going to be my pattern. I am going to be praying for people. I've got to order my life to do this. Amen. We're going to take a time now where we're going to continue in worship, and we will have those who will be available to pray for you. You know, sometimes we don't receive prayer because of our own pride, and we all need prayer at all times. Take advantage of this time. If you have a specific need, something that is weighing on you, or someone that you need to pray for, let us pray with you for that we could pray for one another. Let's go to God in prayer right now, and then we'll worship, and then we'll have a time of prayer together. God, we are so, so thankful for this great privilege that you have given to us, that we can come and speak to you at all times about anything that's on our heart. Thank you, God, for the body of Christ, and God, for the privilege of praying for one another, to know that, Lord, even when we feel helpless and we can't do anything, it doesn't seem like we can pray. And in praying for one another, Lord God, that you respond in the heavenlies, you listen to our prayers, you move on our behalf, and you shape the lives of other people around us. Teach us to pray, God. God, I pray now for that person who perhaps is here today and is feeling heavy laden. I pray, God, these blessings of prayer, that they would know you and experience you and know your presence, your power, your love. May that be their blessing today. For that person who's never said yes, today they would enter into this and rejoice to know that Jesus Christ has loved them with an everlasting love, gave his life, was raised from the dead on the third day, and is inviting them into eternal life. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.